Art, it's time for a mystery guest here on this program. George will not tell us who this is, but we're having this guest on to talk about something that came up this week. So I've been racking my brain trying to figure this out. Is this a sports topic that came up or non-sports?
It has to do with sports because I saw a sports celebrity at a wedding, and we had the discussion, should you ever go up and deliver what potentially could be the ass-whipping?
Gotcha.
And ass-whipping is defined as just bugging them, talking about their career, just talking their ear off when they probably want to be left alone.
Yeah. Do you go up and say, you remember that game when you did this? Because I sure do. In fact, I was sitting on the 30-yard line. And
you call
that.
My cousin's wife's sister.
Yeah.
Just say happy birthday. Her birthday was a few weeks ago.
Real quick selfie right now. This will mean the world to my kids.
Sorry. This is a new phone. I'm not sure how this works.
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
Make him sit through two or
look
three
up the
takes.
Manual.
Well, yeah, there's the issue of if you see that celebrity or sports superstar. And this was a sports superstar that I saw. This was the great Patrick Mahomes. I didn't say anything to him. I would say, and I thought about this more, certainly a top five sports superstar in our country right now to see out in the wild, right?
Yes.
Maybe one or two in the NFL for sure. And as far as I could tell, most people were not going up to him and taking selfies, and he was just part of the whole wedding day. And one of the reasons why I didn't say anything to him is because I know somebody who once did approach a sports superstar, and it didn't go very well, and that is our mystery guest. Mystery guest, say good morning.
Musers of the airways.
This is non-disclosure. Yeah,
right.
This is non-disclosure.
It's
Let's go around the horn.
It's the old Gray Wolf himself, the founder of the ticket, Mike Reiner.
Yes!
Mike Reiner.
What a pleasant surprise.
Hey, Rhines.
Hi, boys.
Yes. So great to hear that voice again. And we have been, I talked to Rhines yesterday. We've been laughing about this. Junior, Gordo, and myself have been laughing about this for about 3 months.
Oh, is this the one that we think is, okay, yes. This is one of my favorite stories of all time.
So I thought we'd get Rhines on to tell the infamous Jim Brown story. When Rhines saw him, not at a wedding or a big event, but he saw him out in the wild, I believe it was an airport, and and we've been laughing at what Jim Brown said to you. So, Rhines, you have the floor.
Well, this was indeed an airport. I believe it was the Chicago airport. And I think we were on our way back from a Super Bowl, probably in Detroit.
Okay.
I want to say, if you boys remember that one.
Yeah, yes. Not too long ago, maybe 15 years ago or so.
Yeah. And so I was just walking along, and he walked right by me, and I thought nothing of it because he didn't have an entourage or anything like that. He was just there. People were leaving him alone. And somebody, the Hammer, Corby or somebody came up to me and said, "Did you see that?" I said, "See what?" I said, "That was Jim Brown back there." "No, that was Jim Brown?" And I looked around, and he had stopped down for something or other. And, yes, it was, in fact, Jim Brown, and fanboyness overtook me. I couldn't contain myself. This was the great Jim Brown, one of my boyhood idols. At that time, one of, if not the all-time NFL rushing leader. And I just had to go up and talk to him about this game in 1960 that I saw, my first Cowboy game ever, the Cowboys and the Cleveland Browns in the Cotton Bowl, where
that's awesome.
He rushed for, I think he had 200 yards or something like that. He just killed the Cowboys that day. So I run up there, and I tell him, "Man, I saw you play the Cotton Bowl in 1960 against the Cowboys, and you ran for 200 yards. And he just kind of looked at me and said, and keep in mind, this is very, very early in the morning. You know how those airports get early in the morning when you got all kinds of people there, and everybody's just trying to get where they're going. Nobody's really, really, that's the agenda, just get where you're going. He looks at me and says, yeah, well, I'm not really thinking about that right now.
Yes, and
I'm like, oh, okay.
That is my favorite brush off line I've ever heard of.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not really thinking about that right now. It is not, hey, thanks, man, or hey, appreciate it, but I got to get going. It's like he thought that maybe you were guessing that was what he was thinking about right at that moment, and now you got it wrong.
Yeah. Now, later on in the day, yes, he's going to be thinking about that, but he's not thinking about it right now.
Yeah, not right now. Right now. Catch me in 5 minutes. That's usually when I'm thinking about that particular game.
All of a sudden, Ryan's was on the game show. What am I thinking about right now?
What am I thinking about right now with Jim Brown?
That's not what I'm thinking about right now.
Yeah, well, that's not really what I'm thinking about right now.
And we have told Ryan yesterday, we've turned that into kind of a hybrid with the Keyshawn Johnson-like delivery of,
Yeah,
well, I'm not really thinking about that
right now. Oh, gosh.
That all-purpose line.
Yeah, well, I'm not really thinking about that right now. And I'm so glad you remembered the exact line that he said. Because if you just said, hey, Jim Brown brushed me off, then we would not remember the story.
No.
But Giorgio and I talk about that story all the time because of the awkward wording of Jim Brown's retort.
How did you part after he said that? Was it just really uncomfortable, or was there hang time? How long did that last?
The departure probably took about 10 seconds or so.
But you didn't try to reintroduce the same subject right immediately?
I just said, I'm sorry, man. I shouldn't have bothered you. But I apologize, and just trundled off.
Let one rip and then got out of there.
Yeah, because you had like Swedish meatball diarrhea at the time, didn't you?
No, that's another story.
I did not. That's another story.
You didn't what?
I didn't have Swedish meatball diarrhea.
Yeah! Full repeat rhymes. And the other thing is, didn't you find out later that, and maybe that's why he wasn't thinking about that at that particular moment, he didn't really have 200 yards rushing that day?
No, he did not. I got my signals crossed over time.
Oh,
he did
no.
very little that day. He had about 30 yards rushing, but his backfield mate, Bobby Mitchell, had 3 touchdowns and 200 total yards on kick returns and catching passes and running the football against the Cowboys.
That's Browns what you should have told him. I was thinking of Bobby Mitchell.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Do you know if he's thinking about that right now, Jim?
Maybe that's it. That in his mind, he does remember every game he played and remember that one as, no, I didn't do squat in that game. This guy has no idea what he's talking about.
Don't you guys think that's weird, the way players can remember games?
Yes.
Like, yeah. I have no idea how they do that. You can ask them about some game 6 years ago, and they'll remember all the details of it.
Yeah. Well.
But you can't remember shows?
No.
Not really.
No, think about this. Like, we've had how many ticket stocks now? 25?
Yeah.
And those are big events once a year. And I couldn't tell you what happened at any one of those things.
They kind of run together.
So how do games not run together for athletes?
They gotta.
So I wonder if it has anything to do with in the game, your adrenaline is so high and your senses are heightened that makes a more indelible imprint in your memory than just any other activity during the day.
Yeah, but what happens in war? That's the same thing, right? Your senses are so heightened, mm-hmm. your adrenaline's pumping, and what do they call that? The fog of war. It's
right.
like you can't make sense of everything as things moving so fast, and you don't recall everything that happened.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure some...
Ask Jim Brown about that, Ryan.
Next time we see him, we need to ask Jim Brown.
If I ever see him again, I will. Or is he dead?
No, I don't think he's dead. Was he wearing the hat? I would think that would be very identifiable as Jim Brown
if he was wearing the hat. He was wearing the hat.
Boy, you know what? Ryan's is the kind of guy that will approach a superstar in the wild because remember when you also approached Robert Plant, who was playing foosball?
Actually, he was playing air hockey, and I didn't really approach him.
What happened?
Well, there was
you had diarrhea in that
table.
Story too, didn't you?
No.
Yeah, I did. I did. I did. It's a big player in my world, Gordon. Robert Plant had been hanging out at this place called Mother Blues when Led Zeppelin was on tour. I think on nights when they didn't have a gig, they would come here, and Dallas was kind of their hub city for a while. Hmm. And there's this place over on Rollins called Mother Blues, and it had all kinds of an old mansion once upon a time, a really cool place, and it had all kinds of rooms in it. There was a room with an air hockey table. And I was back there playing air hockey with some night. I was about, and the game was over, and I was about to leave the room, and I looked up, and he was standing there looking at the air hockey table, wondering what it is. So I kind of gave him a nod and said, "Hey, want to play?" And he did, and we played for a little while, and that was that. There was no bantering repartee between us or anything.
You didn't say anything about his music
or anything like that. I think after, as I was walking out, I said, "Man, I think the crunch is a gas."
Wait. What did I just hear?
You heard me say, "I think the crunch is a gas." The crunch being a song off Houses of the Holy.
And you think it's a gas?
Yeah.
Not a liquid or a solid.
No, jargon of the day.
Like your bowels. Okay, all right. Jargon of the day. That's pretty cool.
That's
so you've
awesome.
you've had a run in with Robert Plant in the wild. You had a run in with mm-hmm. Elvis in the wild.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't you cuss at Elvis? You said you're Elvis Blanken Presley or something like that.
No, I believe the words were "My God, Elvis Presley."
And he said to you what in return?
Ha.
He said, "Ha." Huh. And it was when you saw him at a hotel and he was trying to get like a Baby Ruth out of a vending machine?
It sounded more like "ha," huh, but it came out "ha." Huh. Yeah, I was down on the landing of a stairwell and his entourage came in.
Golly.
And I was trying to get a Baby Ruth out of a vending machine.
Trying to get a Baby Ruth out of a vending machine. Elvis is walking by with his entourage.
It's all hung up in the loop.
Well, generally, Rhines, do you think if it's the big superstar like Jim Brown or, in my case, Patrick Mahomes, it's best probably just to leave him alone, right?
Absolutely. You played that perfectly, Georgie.
By not going up and saying, "Hey, man, I saw you at Texas Tech long before
you threw for 400 yards." And yeah, well, I'm not really thinking about that right now.
You're not going to tell them anything they hadn't heard before, although I kind of told Jim Brown that he ran for 200 yards against the Cowboys. I thought he hadn't heard that before.
Yeah, that was news to him.
It was fake news.
That they had redone his stats for that game.
I think it depends on the level of superstar, too. Like, if it's a... I don't know. Like, if I saw Adam Woods of The Fix, most people probably wouldn't recognize him, but I would. So he may appreciate me coming up to him and say, "Hey, I'm a big Fix fan. Thanks for doing what you've done all these years," right?
I think that factors into it for sure. And, a guy like that probably would appreciate it.
Yeah. But big superstar, probably leaving him alone and just assume that they're probably not thinking about what you're thinking about right now.
Yeah, right, whatever it is. They're not thinking about it right now. You're not going to say anything to them that they've not heard before.
So is maybe the idea is you're supposed to, if you do go up to a mega celebrity to talk to them, you should try to at least guess what they're thinking about right now.
you've got to stop down, take a second, and try and get inside their mind.
Right. Yes.
And try to figure out what's going on in there and just what they are thinking about right now.
Uh-huh. So you should have said to Jim Brown, "Yes, these gates really are confusing at that airport."
That might have worked a little bit better for me.
What are you talking about? I was just thinking about a 1960s
I was just thinking about a Cotton Bowl game I had
with the Cowboys.
I was wondering if that was that kid in the 25th row who was watching me that day.
There was some kid out there sitting in the stands. It looked like he was confusing me with my other running back friend.
Bobby Mitchell.
Yeah. Or I could have asked him about how Raquel Welch said that he was licking the side of her face in some movie scene they did in the Playboy interview.
What?
Asked him about that. Yeah.
He may have been thinking about that.
Now, he didn't quit football to do acting, though, did he? I mean, he did acting afterwards.
He was just kind of tired of football, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was tired of football, but he started hanging around in Hollywood and kind of ingratiated himself into that crowd. And before you knew it, they were wanting him to turn into an actor. So he pretty much did leave football to go do that.
Do you think he's still a top five running back?
For me, he is.
I never saw him play live. I've just seen highlights, but I think he is too.
So people,
that's so cool. You got to see him play live.
So he was so much better than any other running back in the league at the time, right?
Yeah.
Yes, he was.
Junior Nye's case against him is
like we've not seen.
Junior Nye's case against him is he was running against guys who looked like our dad, but see, he was still great.
Yeah. Well, you play when you play, and you play against who you play against, and yep. He dominated them. He dominated your dad.
That's what I'm thinking about right now.
Rhines, are you bored in retirement yet?
No, I'm not.
You haven't regretted it?
Yeah. Tell us about the other side.
I don't know. The other side's fine with me. I'm not bored. I have no regrets about it. You know, in this world, you do what you do. And whatever the consequences are, you take them and you live with them and make the best of them.
George predicted you'd be one of those guys who was dead within 3 weeks of retirement.
Rhines, I would not say that. Who would say that among the three of us?
Only one.
Goofy Deer.
Yeah.
George predicted you would die trying to get a baby tooth out of a vending machine 3 weeks into retirement.
Oh, good God, as it collapses on him.
As he's humping it hard, trying to get it to fall, and it falls down on top.
Whoa.
And actually, it was not a baby Ruth. I was scooping ice out of a machine.
Okay.
And I just kind of stopped and turned around and looked at all these people who were walking through here and wondering what was going on, because it did look like a band of some kind. But
you threw the bucket of ice on Elvis and then ran?
No, but I dropped it when I saw him.
Jeez.
And that started the ice bucket challenge right there.
Yep, that right there.
It did. It's pretty shocking, though, to be scooping ice out of a vending machine and then all of a sudden Elvis walks by. I mean, what do you
think? I didn't know that sentence was going to be said, but okay.
Rhines, you are an awesome mystery guest. Thank you for telling the story that needed to be told again.
Well, thank you, boys, for having me. I'm here for you at any time. Stand at the ready.
Awesome.
What time are you waking up every morning?
Heave to.
Whenever I want to.
Sounds pretty good.
That sounds great.
That sounds pretty good.
Put it this way. I'm not waking up at 4:30 or whatever it is.
Yeah. Stop rubbing it in.
No.
All right, Rhines. Good to hear from you.
All right, boys. See you soon.
See ya.
Try sup.
There he goes.
There he goes. Rhines?
Uh-oh.
Rhines!
What a great surprise, our mystery guest, there? Mike Reiner. All right, we have this video that we've been talking about this morning, the bobcat attacking the couple as they're leaving for work one morning. It's gone viral. Coming up next, we're going to talk to the ticket bobcat about that.